there are all kinds of people. When you do this for 20 years, you will see good people. You will see also people who are, I'm not saying bad people. Let's just say they're misguided or you're not aligned with culture. And it's just part of life.
Part of life.
Part of life.
Part of life.
Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Angels, Exits, and Acquisitions. We just got done talking with Bernard Chong, and he is an immigrant from the Philippines who had a family business over there, one of the largest footwear brands in the Philippines, and became an angel investor all over the world, including working with one of the biggest coffee brands in the world. And I think you're going to really enjoy this story of how he does it, his angel investing, how he focuses on the entrepreneurs, and how he helps them to succeed. Even when there may not be a great future or great ties between the two of them, how he can help to help that entrepreneur succeed so that he and his fellow investors can make their money back. So thanks so much for being here. Click like and subscribe and make sure you share this episode so we can get more traction, more angel investors, and more people getting funded. Take care.
Welcome to Angels, Exits, and Acquisitions, the place to learn how to fund, scale, exit, and massively profit as an angel investor or entrepreneur. Brought to you by the Angel Investors Network. And now, here's your host, Jeff Barnes.
Welcome back to another episode of Angels, Exits, and Acquisitions. I am your host, Jeff Barnes. And today, we are joined by an apparel mogul and somebody that I'm really excited to have on our show today, Bernard Chong. Bernard is originally from the Philippines, but right now living in Los Angeles. Bernard, how are you doing today?
Hello, Jeff. I'm doing all right. Thank
doing
you.
Doing all right. We've got to have you. We've got to get you up. We want to have a great day today. So, Bernard, you know, I know a lot of people that are going to be listening to this are going to be very curious about your background and how you ended up where you are, because you started out in the Philippines and you immigrated to the United States just a few years ago. It sounds like the height of the pandemic. So tell us a little bit about your story and where you come from.
Well, I grew up in a family business. We own a local shoe brand called World Balance, and it's the biggest and most famous shoe brand in Manila, Philippines. And from there, I was learning from my father and from the family business about sales, marketing, production of shoes. So the ins and outs of all business as it is being done. And I have training in sales. I've sold shoes. I have also studied electronics communication engineering in De La Salle University. So I learn how to problem solve and how to analyze. And from there, I decided to, when I grew up and I have some money, I decided to put money on businesses. And that's how I started as an angel investor.
Perfect.
And I've been doing it for 20 years already.
Awesome. So what was your first investment?
My first investment was a radio station. A radio station, 106.7 Energy FM in Manila. And it was lucky my auntie was looking for capital that time. And I put capital that she needed. And it grew, but it was not as easy as... It grew, but it took some time.
Right.
12 years.
12 years? Well, hey, you know what? That's not terrible. I mean, we're talking about radio stations here. We're not talking during the boom of the radio era, right? So that makes sense. But you've made a number of investments since then. And I got to ask, when you made that first one and you got involved, what was that experience like for you when you first started investing in other companies and other people?
Well, as soon as you become part of the company, you talk to them and you learn what the day-to-day operation is. And somehow you pick up the things that, oh, this is how certain businesses work. For example, radio station, this is how they get their sale. These are the things they operate. And then you learn from it. For me, learning the operation of the business was worth it for the amount of money I paid, because I'm more about learning with me. And that gave me satisfaction. And that gave me reason also to be patient, because I see them working. And I kind of know that, oh, at least they're hustling. They're doing some things that is good for the future. So I can observe their journey.
Okay. And so as an investor, you know, a lot of people don't want to get involved in the operational aspect of a business. They're looking at it more from a passive investment, or maybe they want to be an advisor or things like that. So, you know, you, coming from your background, like you said, you were running a business, you were in the family business, you were doing sales and marketing and learning the operations. Do you feel like that gave you an edge when it came to becoming that investor and actually getting in the weeds with those founders and those entrepreneurs?
Actually, getting involved is dependent on your partner or the one who invests. If they ask for you, if they ask for your opinion, then sometimes you say you get involved. But actually, as an angel investor, it's better off to let them be.
And why do you say that?
Yeah, because there are certain path of growth that the founder or the operator or the CEO must go through. Even failure sometimes, or setbacks, they must experience and go through. And they must learn how to overcome it or to work their way around it. So
I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You really cannot say you're angel invest and then suddenly you strong arm them and you say you're the boss now because you put the money in. Yes, and in the long run, that would be hurtful because the person in charge would not be growing. And you angel invest because you believe on the person. Me, that's what I do. I angel invest because I believe in the person. And I'm willing to see through, no matter how long the journey is, through high and lows, I will be with that person. Of course, every day we would talk about it, or from time to time, we would talk about the progress, the problem, the setbacks, and where we learn. To me, that's the most fruitful thing when you invest. It's not about the money, although everybody likes profit and money and growth, but it's who you become, what you learn, because you become part of a certain organization or business.
I think that's really important too. A lot of us, when we're thinking about business, we think about the growth of the entrepreneur, but you're also talking about the growth of the investor as well, right? The personal growth and the journey and the learning that you go through as you're investing, because it is a different learning curve for an investor than it is. It's something different that you've never learned even in school, right? And even people that went through school for finance didn't learn the same types of things you learn once you become an investor in a private company, do they?
Yes. And when you learn, you feel happy and you feel like satisfied and you want to teach them. And you feel like your value also increased, not of value monetarily, but your value as a person, because you know how to guide younger people. You know how to guide startup. You know what's the right way now because you observe them. You observe many companies go through that stage.
I love that. That's such an important piece. And we talk about that a lot with our members, is that yes, the money is great, right? And I'm going to get into that with you too. But the really fun part about this is, I call it significance, right? Like you said, people like to feel valued. Like, we like to know that our value is still there. And if you look at a lot of folks that have been really successful throughout the course of human history or their careers, the thing that made them successful was they continued to add value back to the world, right? They found the problem, they solved the problem. They found a bigger problem, solved a bigger problem. They found an enormous problem, they solved an enormous problem, right? All these entrepreneurs that we idolize, they've solved huge problems, or they're solving huge problems. But then the question becomes, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of need, what happens when you've achieved all that you personally think you can achieve, right? And a lot of these people, and you look at Hollywood stars, you look at athletes, you look at, you know, famous rock musicians, things like that, even famous entrepreneurs, they get to this point where they don't feel valued anymore. Like, they've given all they can. And I think this is another great way to really start to give back and rebuild that significance, because now people are coming to you. And yeah, you're putting money into it, of course, and so you're hoping they value. But on the other hand, what you're saying is you also bring this experience, this expertise, this paradigm that the entrepreneur or the founder may not have, and that can give you some really great satisfaction. Is that in line with what you're saying?
Yes. The learning and the sharing, that's in line. But I heard you saying that when you've done so much and you're at the top, you kind of like lax and don't feel like doing anymore. I think those are depends on the personality of the person. Of course, there's certain satisfaction where they think they had enough, they want to enjoy more, because being an angel investor also takes a lot of discipline and a lot of patience too. And there are certain things that you can't do also, like, you know, if they ask you for your opinion, you must also give them your opinion. But sometimes it takes your time if you want to enjoy on the vacation or something. So maybe this, a person must be complete. A person must be able to learn, must able to experience life too, must able to travel and learn. So it just depends on the person.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, right. There's definitely those people that are happy with taking their money off the table and then just going and living their best life and having a vacation. But what I found is that a lot of these really highly ambitious, motivated people that are, you know, they're grueling it out every single day. They're building their business. They're making things happen. At some point, they might get tired with the thing that they've been doing, but they still want to add value. They just don't necessarily know how to or where to. I guess that's what I'm saying, is that they don't really know how, because they don't want to go back and do another startup, right? You know, you get to a certain point in your career, you don't want to go back and do it again, right? But how do you continue to add value? How do you fuel that drive and that motivation? I think that angel investing solves that for a lot of people. Some people, it's fishing, right? Some people, it's just hanging out with their families and their grandkids. But there are a certain subset of people that are like, you know, I really like being involved. I just don't want to have to do the work all the time, right? And I think that's where this comes in.
Yeah, yes. Eventually, as long as you learn, we learn, and everybody learns, that's the first satisfaction. You got an information, you learn something that works. It adds value to you as a human being.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you said that it takes discipline and patience to be an angel investor. Dive into that a little bit more for us.
All business takes time. And even if the business becomes successful on a short period of time, you cannot deem it successful. In reality, it's just growth. It's just progress. But to say a business is successful, it has to stand through time. So patient equates to time. So that's one. Second, there's no business that's really good that didn't face challenges or didn't go through hardship. Every businesses that are big have done something very brave and then something very smart and courageous and have solved something very hard to solve, like you said. They solve problems. And these things also takes time, because if it's easy, everybody have done it.
Yeah, exactly, right. And I think a lot of people forget that even these companies that have been around for 100, 150 years, you know, we see them as this behemoth, this Fortune 500, blue chip stock, whatever you want to call it. But the founders and the early days had to go through struggles. And then some of them went through even more struggles, even as a big company. And people tend to forget that there is that going on. And I think the people that have gotten involved in angel investing have done that, realize that there is a certain amount of risk that comes inherent with that early stage investment. So how do you help those founders, you know, weather that storm? Because like you said, you want to let them struggle a little bit, because that's how they're going to grow as an individual. And you are betting on the person as well as the idea, the product, right? But you don't want them to fail necessarily, because that could be your money at stake. So how do you help with that?
Actually, you tell them the stories. You introduce to them different partners of who've done the same life or the same journey. So if I angel invest, for example, in a person, I will introduce to him also to all the partners I have with their different businesses that I angel invest. And with the bonding and camaraderie, they would hear their stories, their journey, and hopefully they're inspired too. I would introduce someone that I've met 10 years ago, and this is our journey. I would introduce again someone who I've met 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 4 years ago, because I've done, that's my hat. That's what I did. So from there, he would talk to different founders and he would learn from different stories of how their journey is. So in a way, I hope that gives them courage, or the person courage, or say, some guidance also, that if they want to do something, oh, this person have done it this way, this person journey is this way. So I just do what I can by sharing my life experience and my people or my resource on sharing the wisdom and knowledge.
Beautiful. I love that. So it's almost like, you know, for those of us who have children, you try and tell your kids 100,000 times how to do something or why to do something or the right way to do it.
And I showed them the person. I showed them the person who have done it.
Right. That's my point, right? It goes right over their head if you're just telling them. It's like blank stares. They don't care. But as soon as you introduce them to that other person who you know went through the same struggles, and hopefully naturally and organically, it doesn't feel forced, but they come to realize, oh, this person has a good idea. And then, of course, as a parent, you're like, it's really frustrating because, yeah, I told you the exact same thing 5 years ago, but it's okay. You learn from your friend, right?
And they will realize that there are common denominators about the founders. They all gone through time. It's like they gone through 5 years, they all gone through 7 years to be successful.
Right. Yeah, and that's another issue for a lot of people is that they want to be successful right out of the gate. They forget that those overnight successes, as people might call them, might have been 20 years in the making, right?
Yes.
And so a lot of entrepreneurs can be, you know, bullheaded, pigheaded, however you want to say it, and a little bit stubborn, and they're like just pushing and they think they should be successful yesterday. And why is this taking so long? And all I need is more money, right? Sometimes they think that. It's, if I just had more money, I'd be successful. Do you ever encounter that?
Yes. They think about it, but introducing them to the person who really done it, and upon learning their story, they would understand that, oh, they were planning it two years ago and they doing something that people haven't known yet. And then on the third year, fourth year, that's what they think it's the second year, you know? So they would realize the actual thing, how it happened, rather than the theoretical thing or the imaginary thing. And that helped the people I support or the people with me who talk to me, because I'm able to bring them real life stories. And I can show them real person who've done it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's important, is that we're not here just to tell them what to do, right? It's not our business. That's something sometimes we forget, right? It, as the investor, it's not our business. We're not the ones in charge of things. Sometimes we want to. And so that's where that patience comes in, right? We want to tell them what to do and how to do it, because you can see where the road is going based off what they're doing. But on the other hand, if you can use your network and maybe open a few doors for people, whether that's, you know, to other investors or it's to other founders or it's to people that you think would be beneficial for them to be on the team, or coaches, consultants, whatever it might be, right? But it's leveraging your expertise along with your network to know how to help them, right?
Yeah.
So in that vein, have you had any founders or investments that you've dealt with where it's just really tried your patience and it hasn't worked out, or maybe it didn't work out for a little while and it eventually came around?
Yes, there were some people where I invested and after they grew, they went all over their head and they feel arrogant, and then suddenly they cut you off also. There are all kinds of people when you do this for 20 years. You will see good people. You will see also people who are, I'm not saying bad people. Let's just say they're misguided or you're not aligned with culture. And it's just part of life. It's just what it is. And I just have to accept it as a lesson also. I mean, you cannot expect when you angel invest that, because I invest in people, but you cannot expect all people to be growing with you. There's also a reality in life that people you maintain connection, you grow with them. But people you don't talk to, you fall apart. And sometimes if you just report them something, yeah, it's good. But eventually, it will fall off. So it really depends also. I mean, there are so many lessons also I learned from angel investing. The important part I can share is communication on a regular basis, and the bonding also is very important, because that helps you keep updated of what's happening. But once you don't communicate it, because with me, I'm talking to a lot of people, a lot of organizations. I got 24 hours only, and I got my own life too, and I got family, kids, and stuff to learn too, and to discover. There are some people who I lost communication with, and then I feel like the guidance is not there. It was lost, and eventually, yeah, you're there, but you didn't guide them enough, and that's part of it. So maybe that's why some people say, I have it. I'm content. This is enough. And this is the perfect balance. So they just want to enjoy life and something. Like I said, different people, different journey. But maintaining good communication to your partner or to your business associate is really important.
Do you have any examples of times that maybe it didn't work out and, you knew you could help the founders or the business, but for whatever reason, that lack of communication wasn't there, and how you overcame that?
Well, I have many examples about communications, but I can tell you a story where there's a investment that I made, and we made good money. We made so good money. I really spent time with them when we were growing. But after I spent time with them, I was concerned on a different project because it interests me. I lost communication with them. And that person grew big. He grew big, but we fell off. And then suddenly, we just don't talk anymore. So maybe he thinks he don't need me. He's big already. Or maybe for whatever personal reasons, I just wish I maintained communication with that business partner I have, but I didn't. And he's big. He's still big now. But just because I didn't maintain, it lost track. So that's also a painful lesson to me. There are also people who are struggling. Also, this one's a good lesson that I learned. He promised growth and progress in 2 years. But of the 2 years, it didn't comply with the progress. And he was able to deliver the promise on the third year. But that's 1 whole year waiting. But waiting for 2 years and 1 month, 2 years and 2 months, 2 years and 2 months and 2 weeks until the third year, that everyday thing, patience will be tested. And I almost like want to give up that time because, of course, what I'm investing with my resources is not the bank's resources or something. And everything in reality, you have to make profit too, in a way. And on the third year, to my surprise, he delivered the promise. And I was very happy that I didn't cut the communication. I was patient with the person. But there are signs also that it has life where every day, even though it's the second year on the first month, second month, third month of the second year, he were giving reports, he were giving progress. I was able to see the office. It's working, it's growing, although the result is not yet there. So I could see that the goal was just not yet reached, but we're progressing. So,
right.
Yeah, you just have to be patient. At the end of the day, you have to discern if the person really is doing his best. If he's doing his best, just ride with the person because it's just reality in our life, in a society that when the person is doing his best, just support the person.
And like you said, the communication is so important, right? A lot of people, when they make an investment, they want to be passive, but then they don't keep tabs, right? And as a result, it might be a year, 2 years goes by. They're like, hey, what's going on with that one investment we made over there? We haven't heard from so-and-so. And I find that that's, the most challenging place for businesses and investors to be in, because now you find yourself in a situation where, like you said, you've grown apart.
Yeah.
And that person earned your trust initially to invest in them. And you feel like that's worth something, right? You wrote the check, you gave them your time, you gave them your attention. You're helping them along the way. And then all of a sudden to cut ties or to ignore them, that can be hurtful to a certain extent, right? And if people look at it that way, then they can say, okay, forget about it. I'm not working with this person anymore. They just better come through. But like you said, if there's good communication, constant communication, that's what we've seen as well, is the more you communicate with your investors, the more likely you are, even if you don't succeed, to have their backing in the future.
Yes, yes. And whatever happens, it's always a two-way thing. You, as a person, you want certain things, but the recipient must also want it too. So it's always a two-way thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So can you name any of the companies you've invested in that you're really excited about that have taken off and what kind of role you had in them?
Well, I've invested also in an Easy Franchise, the brand Easy Franchise. So it's a management platform where we get franchisees from many people and we can put it on a Dunkin' Donut or a coffee shop or whatever brand. And we manage the franchisee and give proper proceeds to the investor. So that's a platform also. that's something I'm very happy with, Dan. I'm so happy that I invested on an esports team that gives glory to the country. We won the world championship in Mobile Legends, and this is the Jacket, actually the brand esports that currently changed to AP Brand, and we won world champion for the Philippines twice, the nice. M2 and the M5, and it's written forever, so it gives glory to the country. That's why I'm proud of it. There are also some platform business that I made, and I'm excited, but right now I cannot share it because it's not yet out there, but we're working with big financial institutions, and I really believe that this will impact a lot of people because it's a online platform, and the reach is whoever has the internet, whoever has phone, we can reach them. Some restaurant business, I'm also happy because we serve good food. We know we serve healthy food. Some coffee shop business, Tim Horton Philippines, I was able to invest on Tim Horton Philippines, and Tim Horton is a flagship Starbucks of Canada.
Yep.
And I think it's a number 3 most famous coffee brand in the whole world. And we brought that to Philippines. So that one, I'm also happy to bringing Canadian brand to Philippine market.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. And most people in the United States may have never heard of Tim Hortons, but in Canada, Timmy's is everywhere. And people, it's like the Starbucks here in the States. But yeah, very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
So what are you, you know, going forward, you've obviously accomplished a lot in your life. You have your businesses, you have your investments, you've done some really great things with helping entrepreneurs grow. Yeah, I hear that there's some big things coming for you in the very near future. Can you care to share any of those with the listeners?
Well, I'm also started on Brain Seed Foundation. It's an education foundation in United States. And I'm excited also to send people to school to help them in a way, helping people who needs help for schooling. So that's also one journey that I feel like I'm excited to start in United States.
That's so very cool. And you guys are you're not focused on STEM, you're focused on STEAM. So explain to people what that means.
What I mean is, because I earn already and learns already, I want to help now. I want to help now. Yeah.
Well, what I'm referring to is, so instead of science, tech, education, and engineering and math, right? You have science, tech, engineering, arts, and mathematics is a big focus of your vision of the Brain Foundation, right? Or Brain Seed Foundation, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so why throw the art in there? Like, there's been so much push in the last decade or so over STEM. And I think to the chagrin of many people like myself who are focused on other areas besides just STEM. So why add in the arts? What drove you to do that?
As a human being, our imagination is what separates us. And art is imagination and vision. So it's important there. So you really got to include that.
I think it's necessary. I think it's absolutely necessary because, here in the States, we look at, like, my kids are in public education, and I look at students coming out of even high school, and it's really challenging to get them to engage in society in the way that you'd think that most capable human beings, adults, would be able to do. And I think it's because they're missing pieces of an education, whether that's from home or from school, but they spend most of their time at school until they're 18, right? And I think that arts is a big part of it. I think that physical fitness is another one that's just, it's gone by the wayside. The community aspect of going to school and being a part of a bigger community, I think, is really important. I feel like a lot of it's been pushed by the wayside because there's been such a focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, right? And I'm not saying those things are bad. Of course, we live in a world where technology is going to continue.
It has to be complete. I mean, you're just main focus on math, if you're just main focus on science, I mean, yeah, it's considered education, but it's an incomplete education. To be complete, you must learn the theory, but you must also discover the actual application. You must also experience life. You must also travel, see things, and then incorporate all those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but there's a lot of people that just don't like science and math. You know, there's plenty of people out there in the world that are just not going to be great at it, who don't want to be great at it, and they have different skill sets and capabilities. And I feel like those people might feel left behind if there's too much emphasis on something that is not going to be strong for them.
Highly likely that people who don't like certain stuff is just because they don't understand it. So probably they had a poor teacher, or they didn't see how this fits in. I think as a human being, as long as we become better than our old version of ourselves, we appreciate it. And understanding things is part of being better. Seeing things, realizing things, being more certain because you're wiser, that makes you better than your previous version of self. And this comes really with age, with time, and with experience.
So you may not like shortcut.
Yeah, so you may not like geometry, for example, but if you realize that geometry is really part of also life, part of nature, then you probably learn, you probably appreciate it. But nobody right. told you probably that geometry is part of nature too, something like that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It all comes full circle for sure. Awesome. Bernard, this has been great. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time. How can people find you online or connect with you if they'd like to?
I have Facebook, Instagram. I am Brent Chong in Instagram and Bernard Chong in Facebook. And I have a brentseedfoundation.org. They can connect me through there.
Perfect. Wonderful, Bernard. Well, thanks so much for being here on the podcast. We will see you at one of our upcoming events. And really looking forward to it.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
So you've just been watching another episode of Angels, Exits, and Acquisitions with me, Jeff Barnes, and Bernard Chong. And thank you so much for being here. As always, please like, click subscribe, and share so we can get more people watching this. And we hope to see you at one of our upcoming events. If not, we'll see you on the next podcast. Take care.